Okay, everybody, welcome to the President's Dinner. This is I like this even more than the banquet because I even have to do less during the President's Dinner. And I'm going to introduce you to someone. I got to tell you, I did a little research, and before Martin Jones became a staid, rather, you know, workaday guy and had all these children that he's been putting through school, he was a little bit of a wild man. In fact, in his younger years, he dyed his hair blonde. And he lived next door to someone, to a lovely lady, and she was, you know, mowing her lawn one day, and she watched him, because I heard this from her, the story. And she watched Martin come out in his blonde hair, and guy came to the mailbox. People don't know this, but this is a true story. I would not lie to you. Martin came to the mailbox and opened it and slammed it. And went back into the house. And she was a little, you know, the neighbor, very attractive neighbor, but nonetheless, she watched him and he came out again. And he opened the mailbox and slammed it shut. So she was a little intrigued by this behavior. But she thought, well, you know, no counting for blondes. So third time, he came out, opened the mailbox, slammed it shut. Finally, she could contain herself no longer. Martin, I don't understand. Well, what are you doing? He said, I just got this computer, and it kept telling me I had mail. And with that, I want to introduce to you our MC for the President's Dinner, the no longer blonde, Martin Jones. There you go.
Hello, CCB! Hello! Hello. It is a delight to be here. And for some of us that are as old as Ken Metz, we know the value of still walking, talking, standing up, and remembering what today's date is. But, you know, there are a couple of things that I want to go over with us, and then we're going to move on, is that we discussed something that we talked about last year. And we were talking about the global educational program with reference to Braille writers for kids in other countries, meaning Africa, Latin America, Asia, and the Caribbean. We are coming to final distribution of our idea. And you say, what is he talking about? What I'm having reference to is that we're going to be asking each club to donate $100 towards a Braille writer for a kid, a Braille writer. Also, to the backside of it, we're going to be asking some of us who have some Braille writers sitting in the corner collecting dust, or some Braille writers that may need some repair, that we need those too, because in talking to kids out of other countries, they say there's nothing better than a Perkins. And even talking with kids when they talk to me about slates and styluses, they say, nope, we don't need them from Japan or Korea. We want one from Perkins because they are better. And we're going to do our utmost in the Multicultural Concerns Group and you helping us and you helping to put the shoulder to the wheel and helping us to make that happen. You'll be hearing more about it through your president. It's because we will be talking to our presidents about it, and it is a we-ism program, a we-ism program. But today what I want to do, and good evening to everybody, is that I want to hear from you, us, and we about issues that we should be dealing with as presidents. And I say, please turn your cell phones off because it's most distracting. Anything that disturbs Ken the most is that when he is talking about something and then he hears a call coming from Washington, D.C. that's not even related to him. But, you know, a song that struck me and is still striking me, and I sort of feel that it strikes us because it covers everything with what we are about to do and what we have done and what we are about to do. And so, yes, I would ask Ken to start it off, but I'm not going to do that. So we're going to say, my country is of thee, sweet land of thee, I sing. Land where my fathers died, land where the pilgrims cried from every mountainside, let freedom ring. A moment of silence for the brothers and sisters who are coming back into our communities and who have become visually impaired. Some of them have lost their sight. And a moment of silence to many of our members who would have been here, but it was time for them to go to the front of the line, and they're not here. What I'd like for us to do is to go around and check in, and in our check-in, I'd like for us to talk about issues. I don't want us to talk about how good we're doing, and we've got 450 members this year. We want to talk about the problems that we are having. The problems that we are going through with. The problems that we are going through with. So, okay, I'll do that. We'll start off with Ken Metz. And, you know, why don't we do this? Because I hear somebody saying that my stomach is crying. So why don't we eat first and think about those issues? Think about those issues. And you're saying, will I call Ken Metz first? Yeah, we'll start off with him. But we want to wait until at least he has the strength and the energy to be able to speak to us. And when we go around, we want to only spend no more than 2 minutes so everybody will get a chance to speak and that we can hear everybody clearly about what's going on, where you are, and how you're dealing with those issues in your chapter. Because we are issue-oriented and we want to talk about issues this evening. Thank you.
Dr. Jaywood, at CCB, I've always got strength.
You see, that's what happens. When you give him a little Geritol, what happens? A little dab of do you. Oh, you do Geritol because it re-energized him, and the Brill Cream is automatic. We couldn't have an evening together without going over the issues that we are dealing with. I have someone as we go to sort of write up some of these issues so we can prioritize them and start getting a collective to start working on these issues. So, can I get a volunteer? We have Bernard, who's going to take notes for us. The young lady said, did you want my husband to run around the table? And my response is, we all know CPR, and we don't want to practice it.
And that would be one heck of an issue.
Right, that's right, that's right. So moving right along, and we want to be able to have an opportunity to discuss some issues that we are dealing with in whatever area and wherever we are. So the mic is coming around to you for you to introduce yourself and then give us an issue to focus on. What are the issues in your area, in your chapter? Go ahead.
Well, there we go. This meeting is now over. I won't give up the mic. That could be an issue. Actually, I think one of the biggest issues is bringing members in and maintaining them. It isn't a real problem to always bring folks in, but I think the problems stem from the fact that there isn't enough in some of the meetings that I attend, at least in L.A., there isn't enough information about CCB all the time. That I've gone to don't have legislative reports. And if you don't have reports on what is going on and what the status is on the different items that CCB is involved in, the new people never understand it, and they don't stay that long. They don't, because you have to give them something that will touch them personally, that will motivate them personally, and that will then cause them to want to work as a group.
Thank you.
So I think we really need to try and work with new members and train them from day one.
Next.
Anybody else? Pam, you want to say something?
Are we introducing ourselves?
Yes. Okay. Hello. I'm Pam Metz, president of Greater Los Angeles, and I actually agree with him on one respect. And the other respect is that we need, because of the size of our county, we're so spread out. And one of the things that I'm working on with San Gabriel and East LA and, okay, all the chapters down south, because I don't feel like naming them all, is we're going to have a meeting on May 30th with all the presidents of those chapters in that area, to figure out a way to bring membership into all those chapters in that area, and to also maintain those chapters, because right now we are very, very close to losing one chapter in that area. And if we don't do something to try and pull that chapter by its bootstrings, we're going to lose Long Beach.
Okay, next.
Yes, I'm Thomas, and I'm from the San Luis Obispo chapter. We're about three. Our biggest problem is trying to find replacements for our board, because San Luis Obispo is a small. Like I said, we live in such a large region, but and our membership is about 20 people, but nobody's wanting to step up to the plate except for the same four or five people. And we're hitting a roadblock because all of us have been on the board for almost 4 years now, and some of us are burning out.
Okay. Would you like to say anything?
Next.
Hi, I'm Roy Harmon. I live in Oceanside, California, and I'm vice president of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. And an issue I'd like to have discussed, if you have an opportunity to, is that I would like to see the California BEP program comply with federal law. That would cover a lot of ground. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is David Hanlon. I'm the president of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. And we're going to really key in on some key issues that we have a lot of concern about in our program, and that is that the vendors are experiencing, some are experiencing a severe economic crisis because of the economy. A lot of our income is based upon public accessibility to our business, either a snack bar or a vending machine or whatever, and our business has really gone down. So we need help from CCB, you know, in sponsoring a couple of resolutions, and also we need to be pretty active in letting the Department of Rehab know that we are in need of help.
Hello, I'm the better half of the president of RSVA. RSVC, I'm sorry. I forgot my alphabet. I'm blonde, okay? we were discussing how to get you know, more members and maintain them. We have added several members. We've got 120. I'm on 120, but we got 112 members, and we had four. Our how many we have?
Ten last year.
Okay. One of the things that we've done is we put out a weekly bulletin via the email. And Hazel, what is it called?
It's called the Newsline Bulletin.
The Newsline Bulletin. We're doing is keeping. Keeping them up to date on what's going on. Communication, individual communication seems to be the key, and we're doing it via the email because we've been able to get, thanks to Hazel, we've been able to get all of the addresses in and everything. Okay? The Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California.
Okay.
I'm Penny Valdivinos, and the president of the Greater Bakersfield Council of the Blind, and we are having problems with fundraising participation, member participation in our fundraisers. It's like everybody else, it's always the same old people that do all the work, and we're trying to get incentives for reasons for the other members to participate and get out. We have some members that stay home a lot.
No. I'm Diane Joy. I deserted their council, and I'm now a member of the Redwood Empire.
Inland
Empire. No, Redwood Empire Council of the Blind in Santa Rosa. I understand that we have a problem. We have a lot of members, about almost three times as many as they have in Bakersfield, but I understand we have a problem. Well, we have trouble getting them to meetings, but we do. Our president is always sending us emails. I don't have time to read all the emails he sends me about what's going on. It's interesting, though.
He likes email.
He loves email. He's the... He was what Brandy is last year. But he sends a lot of emails, which I think is good, but I think keeping people involved in any chapter is difficult. I don't have any answers for it, but we're working on it.
Next.
This is Brandy Morgan. I'm president of Blind Students of California and vice president of Greater Bakersfield. And I'll speak basically, we've already heard about Greater Bakersfield, so I'll talk about blind students. Being as we are a state affiliate and we are built of people all over the state, I find it's hard for communication between us. So that's something that we're definitely working on. We are definitely improving and we're definitely getting word out more that we exist and we've got different people, you know, talking about us. But I think communication is key to part of the problem.
Actually, I'm from Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California. And is Frank Walty in the room? No? I have to tell you, Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California participated yesterday in the Capitol Day, and there were about 25, 30 different CCB members who participated, and we came totally unprepared, which is really unusual for us, but we hit pay dirt, and we found several legislators who are very interested in working with blind organizations and producing some legislation. The list was Tom Armanano. I'm not sure what district he was from, but we had his card. And he has a granddaughter and a grandson who are both visually impaired. And anyway, he was very receptive to working with various CCB groups. So if anybody needs his name, address. just strike. Anyway, there were some others that we also were very receptive to the issues presented with ACB and CCB. So that's all I have to say.
Okay.
I don't have much to say. I just wanted to say good evening to everybody. And I do believe that the main thing for this organization to have is communication. And if a lot of these people do not have a computer or a cell phone, or they must have some way to communicate with them. But if you can't do it by email, then by word of mouth, visiting, calling. Okay, I'm from the Silicon Valley chapter. Yes, from Santa Clara. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Susan Schulter, and I'm from the same chapter as Ruben. We're delegate and alternate delegate from Silicon Valley Council. And I would say that one issue that we're working on in our chapter is growing a younger membership. I will put this delicately. I'm 52. You can figure the rest out, okay? And we need to attract people in their 20s and 30s and who are going to want to pass the torch and keep that on, and so we could use a lot of help with that. I wanted to say something about communication. I think it's really wonderful when email can work really well. In our chapter, we have something called the phone tree, and it's for members who don't necessarily subscribe to email or like communication that way. We actually have members in the chapter who call up other members when we're getting near the monthly meeting day and read them kind of the main features of that meeting or things that they need to know. And it's kind of a short agenda that can go by phone. But, that can be really, really useful, I think, for people, for those of us who are really comfortable with voice. I'm an English teacher, and I have decided that rather than calling colleagues on the phone or shooting them email, it might be nice for me to walk down the hall and say hello. You know, it just seems to work really well. So, anyway.
All righty. Errol, got her hand up.
Errol Brown, Santa Rosa. I'd like to bring up a general issue, and it's fundraising. And it is, as someone over there said, getting people to get involved in fundraising. I think a lot of us are burnt out on fundraising. There's so much of it going on, and it's hard to get people involved anymore. I mean, we have, CCB has two raffles a year. Different organizations have raffles. There are four or five other associations that are constantly looking for funding. So, you know, we need to look at how we do fundraising and maybe find some better way to do it.
Hey, this is James Forbes from Eureka, California, Humboldt Council. I like doing fundraising, and I think that the people in the county where I live that like to do it are going to do it vigorously, and those who don't want to aren't going to. And I feel like if I pressure people who don't want to be secretary or vice president or don't want to get involved, but just put whatever input they have, I just let them input at their own level, because I just feel like if they're not really into it, they're not going to really do it anyways. I mean, if I could persuade people or, you know, try to give them a positive push, that's fine. But we have the same kind of thing, because we only have 13 members. And now, I'm sure you all know Piggy Martinez. She moved away, so we have even less people who want to be on the board or vice president or president, so it gets a little more difficult. So, you know, there's not a lot of young people except for the few that are visually impaired who go to Humboldt State University, and I'm always in touch with all of those kids, and they don't seem to have the real, I don't know what it takes, or they don't really want to get involved with advocacy and those kind of things. They're more involved with just being college students. So there are four, five, six rotating college students with visual impairments a year at school where I go, and like I said, they're just not really into being part of the council more than once or twice a year, whether we email or call or send them Braille or any kind of format. That really doesn't help. So, you know, also I have an issue because we've been fundraising and having a lot of success fundraising to get a CC and DBS system in a local theater there, and it's owned by a larger company out of the state. And even though we've sent proposals and talked and fundraised and started an account, we still can't get them to just say, yeah, go ahead and buy something and put it in. And I don't know how to bridge that gap between us and that president of that company. Doesn't seem to really be really too interested, no matter what the cost is. So if anyone has any advice with dealing with someone like that, it'd be great. Thanks.
Hello, this is Steve Fort, Bayview Chapter President, and we've experienced some of the same dilemmas that other chapters have, but I'm really optimistic because we have a new membership chair who's majoring in special education and is a really go-getter. So our meetings are the second Saturday of the month, 1:30 p.m. to 4 at the Lions Blind Center, 3834 Opal Street in Oakland, and everyone's welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay, I am not president of a chapter. I just rejoined the Golden Gate chapter that Martin is the president of. Several years ago, I think one of the problems that we're having is being that we're a small chapter, we are trying to recruit, but I think that the young people of today really don't realize the struggle that we've been through as blind people to give them what they have today. And I think what would be needed would be if our chapter or the chapters could maybe have maybe like a dramatized thing telling these young people about what has happened in the movement.
Okay. Coming over here to Bernice.
Is that you, Jim?
I'm Bernice Candarian, and I'm president of the California Council of Citizens with Low Vision. I want to address this from a different viewpoint. I'm looking always at trying to better meet the needs of our current members and retaining them, and that kind of situation brings in new members. And to that end, we've had our first call, and we're going to have another one in April. We're having a conference call where people can call in on a toll-free number, and it's called Let's Talk Low Vision with Dr. Bill. And that was highly successful. I will just plug something on another level, that is, as chair of the American Council of Blind Women's Concerns, we're now also offering a support group via the telephone for women with breast cancer. I'm going to ask Bonnie Rennie to say if you would.
Yeah. Oh, surprise. Well, again, it's a matter of being available to address a need, even though it may take a lot of work and trying to do that. That is my understanding of how Women's Concerns develop this program, which several of us that are ACB members are involved in helping with. And it's a way for women. It's a toll-free call. If you know anyone in your chapter that's a member who has breast cancer in the past, if they've had it and they have concerns, if they have vision loss and they have breast cancer issues, they can contact Bernice. There'll be more things in the magazines coming out about it as well. There was in the February forum of how they can get involved. It's once a month, and it's women supporting women. It's very, I hope we see more of this in the future. I think it's kind of the wave of the future. While I have the mic, and I know we're about out of time, I'm representing Orange County at the convention. Our chapter is struggling, and I'm glad we're talking about problems, because often we don't do that, and we feel all alone and embarrassed and everything. Orange County, I think our biggest problem is, in Orange County, people have it too good with blindness support things. They don't see any need for dealing with legislation when they've got socials and other things to do, and not that I have issues. Not that I have a problem with that. What we're trying to do about it is we looked at the niche issue. What could be our niche? What is an unmet need that people are looking for that we could in some way try to address? We're looking at the fact that a lot of people are employed or would like to be employed or interested in being gainfully employed or really involved in their community. So we're trying to plan our programs around that. We're trying to write our brochure around that. If that helps, because we just seem people, you know, have it too good, I guess. Thanks.
I'm Jeannie Ackerman. I'm a member of the San Mateo Council for the Blind. And our chapter will be your host in 2010 Spring Convention. So come on down.
And I'm going to get you a jacket.
This is Foster Brown, President of Inland Empire Chapter. Some of the issues that we addressed today as far as like membership, well, not membership, mentoring, fundraising, and also getting the word out about your different chapters, like through press releases and public service, will be addressed tomorrow. Linda Perrell, John Ross, and myself, we went to the ACB Western Regional Leadership Council conference. So some of those issues that we're discussing today will be addressed tomorrow afternoon in the afternoon session.
Okay, this is Lewis Preston. I'm from the Greater Long Beach chapter. So Long Beach is represented, not the way we want it represented here. But I tell you one thing, Long Beach may be down, but it's not out. It's not out. And that means that one of my missions and goals will be, when I get back, if I have to call every single member personally, including the president, that we are not going to let that chapter disappear. You can count on that.
Okay. Hello. This is Donna Pomerantz. I'm president of San Gabriel Valley chapter. And I'm going to try and keep this still so that it doesn't die. And, you know, someone else mentioned it as well. You know, when we have our social things and fundraisers, we all come out and support each other for our fundraisers and our socials. But what really concerns me, LA County, is that there are a number of advocacy issues and things that happen with our paratransit, with our voting, with access to different things. And when we put the call out, it's usually the same 8 to 10 of us that are there at the meeting, either giving public comment or just showing up or reading, you know, these things that they put out in changing policy, and we have a chance to at least say, hey, this isn't right. We don't want it. We're the writers. You have this service for us, but we can't get in LA County. We should always at least have 50 people at no, girl, you know, you heard me say should.
Okay.
Yeah, you heard me say should. And that's really a problem, because you know we can make a difference and we can make the numbers, but we're not able to. And you know I'm concerned. I'm worried.
Hi everybody, it's Linda Porrell, San Francisco chapter president. And my issue that I'm going to talk about is how to keep things fresh. I've been sort of listening to the whole conversation, and it's clear that we have a little bit of fundraising fatigue. It's also clear to me that advocacy has a certain relentless quality. Write this letter. Make this phone call. Go to this demo. Just keep going, 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 and things can get bogged down and not always resolve. So I would like to issue an invitation for a regional gathering of collaboration for Bay Area chapters to Golden Gate and Bayview and Redwood Empire, San Mateo, if Alameda, if I'm leaving anybody out who wants in, please. It would be wonderful to get together and work as a larger community and come up with some fresh ideas.
Okay. One more comment.
This is Christy Crespin, president of the Active Blind Inland Valleys chapter. I said I was either going to kill the chapter or grow it. And I told them that's why I became president. Like Ed said, life taxes. So I think that we're deciding it because we've got another member. Our last meeting, we have somebody else who's going to be joining. I had Artis Bazin come with Kevin Burkery, and they talked about membership. I was going to have a transportation meeting in my mind, and I'm Pampered Chef fundraiser instead. So maybe Jean can come to our June meeting. What I'm trying to do is take the negativity and make it positive.
Did we get everybody? Okay, and then after the couple of more, then we're going to have to.
Mine's more of a comment than a question. I noticed that the CCB allows people to sell things on eBay and donate it to the CCB, and I was just going to ask if that's an effective way of fundraising. And my next comment is that something I noticed is a lot of young people who are visually impaired talk to people who are visually impaired their same age who live hundreds of miles apart on chat rooms and blogs and Twitter and forums. And so one thing I notice is there has to be a bridge to get people who live far apart to participate in communities that they may not live close together. So that's the future of what I see.
Okay. Artist is next.
Well, I just wanted to invite any of you who have not signed up for the membership fundraiser public relations breakfast in the morning to come, because we might be able to come up with some ideas to solve some of these issues for you.
Okay. Coming up here to Paul. Okay. Left to right here.
Hello, this is Margaret Buckman Garcia from the Yosemite Gateway chapter. We're still real new, so we're not burnt out yet, but I think we're addressing a lot of the same issues. One of our biggest issues that we deal with and that we've tried to address, and I welcome comments, is transportation. We had to get our chapter involved and show up in mass as much as could show up at some county meetings because they were going to take away Saturday service. As it is, our service ends now. They cut back to 4:30, and nothing after 4:30 in the afternoon. Our bus pass has gone up from $25 to $55 for the month. So we've got some real big issues as far as transportation, and we've got a huge geographical area that people want to come and participate in our things. And how do we get them there? Merced County area? Yeah.
Okay. My name is Paul Patchy, and I'm the president of ACB Capital Chapter here in Sacramento. And we have basically the same problems as a lot of other chapters. But the main thing that I wanted to state is we are doing the hospitality, and everything that we make from the hospitality is going to the California Council of the Blind to their general funds.
Okay.
Let's give ourselves a well-rounded applause. For the individual who has been taking the notes on the problems and the issues, after you put it together, would you please send that to the Sacramento office? And what we need to do as presidents and as friends of presidents, we need to prioritize that list and stop looking at it and start working on it. I must admit that even when I talk to newly blind individuals and even some individuals who have lost their sight or who are losing their sight, let's be realistic. A lot of our community, they just have it too good. A lot of our community, they didn't have to struggle for the increase of reading hours when they are and when they were going to school. It's already there. A lot of our community, they didn't have to worry about the increase of money in order to even help or to scrounge around and get money to help to feed dogs. The money is there. It may not be as much, but there is something there. But we have to make it crystal clear is that if there's not SSI, then what? We have to make it crystal clear. If there's no struggle, there will never be any progress. And we, as members of the blindness community, we have struggled and struggled and struggled to attain and to get what we got. And oftentimes when we find individuals, we have to lay it out crystal clear to them that if they're not a part of something, then they will fall with nothing. So I'm truly concerned about these issues, truly concerned about what's happening with us as a group, and truly concerned about people only want to be blind when it comes down to monetary difference. Then after they have achieved the monetary difference, well, see, I'm not as bad as the others. You know what I mean? You see, I can see a little bit. And so my response to them have always been is that then why are you receiving aid? And so we have to keep it real with a lot of folks. We got a lot of undercover blind folks. Undercover. They only surface when it comes time that they're going for their annual report, and it's a probability that they may be cut off. I get people surfacing that I never thought, Dr. Jones, you see those people, what's the matter? Well, you see, I don't see too good. Say, you don't. I say, well, what's the matter with that? Okay, well, so what? Well, see, they want me to have a doctor's report. I listen. And I said, well, when is it that you are going to join a group that is fighting for your interests? When is it that you're going to stop being an undercover blind person? When is it that you are going to surface and not only stand up for yourself, but stand up with us and stand up for all of us? And that's what we have to begin to do. And I've even noticed this even about other disabilities, even as I'm on the van. Folks start talking to me about this, that, and the other. And I just put it in my memory bank. And I bring them to the side. And I said to them, do you realize there were some students who had to lose their creditness in order to get what you're achieving now? And now you are showing that their loss was nothing because you're not a part of anything. And my thing to all of us as we close, we need to go to the senior homes. We need to talk to our friends that are 50 plus. We need to talk to kids that are in youth guidance centers. We need to talk to the folks in our churches and in our synagogues because we know them. We know them. And we need to sit them down and let them know the importance of organizing. It's because, truly, we are at the end of the line. But you know something? When we started off, we were at the end, but we pushed ourselves straight to the top. And everything that people are getting now, they've got it from the hustle and the bustle of the blindness community. And I must say that even myself, we are getting older now. And there's a tune that's out, said, old gray mule ain't not like he used to be. And so the thing of it is that we have to get behind the students. It's because students feel that if they can see just a little bit, that what we're dealing with is different from their issue. And I would say to students, at one time, I could catch a bus by myself. At one time, I could lead others and say, brother, let's go this way. But now, even I kiss telephone poles. And even now, my knees walk into fire plugs and the fire plugs don't move. And even now, I walk into walls and the walls say good morning. So what I'm having reference to is that it is important for us also to reach out beyond our community so people can see us and see what we are about and what we are doing. It's because it's not enough of us going into organizations outside of our circle so people can hear and see what we are about. We have to do that. That's a must agenda. A must agenda. It's nothing new. It's the same thing. Same thing. And so women have to get into other cooking classes so you won't look like the Wizard of Oz when people say, oh, my God, you're cooking? And so the thing is that it's important. There are classes at the community college that we can go to and get into, and people need to see us. They need to see us, and we need to start going to City Hall complaining about transit, complaining about paratransit. It's because I had to get a fellow straight coming here. I said, listen, man, I learned that a sister's hands was hurting, and she told a person to look in her purse to get her money. And she found out later that along with the money that she had tied up, that her credit card was missing. And what I am having reference to is that also, too, we have to be on top of the abuse that's occurring with us. The abuse. Just as the women are talking to one another, when a woman expresses her pain to you, don't turn the page. Keep that page open and talk about that and press charges. Press charges. Stop as a blind woman because somebody did what they did. Well, it's okay. At least I got a place to stay. No. It doesn't. It shouldn't work that way. It shouldn't work that way. And as I close, to all the women, is that you need to stop giving samples. When you go to Safeway, hear me clearly. When you go to Safeway, if you stand in front of the stand that has grapes and you're continually eating the grapes, the head of the produce department is going to come up to you and say, I'm sorry, sir. I noticed you've been standing up here for a half an hour. What are you going to do? Are you going to buy some of these grapes? No, I was just tasting them. You got a case. And so, ladies, sisters, queens, you're going to have to stop giving out samples. Because if it looks good to you, what did you say, Jackie? Why don't you put a ring on it? So the thing of it is work on these issues. We are going to work on these issues. And I'm genuinely concerned about all of these issues that we talk about. It's because also, too, there are not enough of us on the college campuses. There are not enough of us. Not enough of us on the college campuses. And there needs to be many more of us on these college campuses. We need to be able to take care of our own destiny. When a young kid sees any of us being able to be in charge of something, working, doing something, that is hope for that mother. That is hope for that father, that child has a better future. And each and every one of us in this room here, we are models for the children. We are models for our community. We are models for our culture. So as the gong gongs, I want to make it absolutely clear is that we will work on these issues. And thank you for listening and thank you for participating.
Watch out.
Yeah.
Did you get Eric Rivers to say a few words?
Oh, hello? There was a question raised to me. Did I get Eric Bridges to say a few words and Eric Bridges to say something? So, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't use your Q-tips this morning, just stick your finger in your ear, clear it out, and let's give a wild round of applause to Eric Bridges.
Well, good evening. I understand that we're kind of short on time right now. I'm not quite sure how to follow Dr. Jones. The samples will stay with me for a long time. But I will be giving an update on what we're doing in the national office and on the national level with advocacy and public policy later this evening during the general session. So thank you again for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to sharing the weekend with you guys.
I don't know where you came from.
Jeff introduced him earlier.
Eric didn't say it, but he's here from Washington, D.C., and it's a lovely place for us to visit.